Our second reading this morning is from the Gospel according to John, in the fifth chapter, verses 1 through 9. Listen now for the word of God. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool called Bethesda, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. Then one man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." And once the man was made well, he took up his mat and began to walk. Here ends the reading. May God bless it to our understanding. And will you pray with me, please? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, let your word be rightly preached and truly heard this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Do you want to be healed? No doubt, if that question were posed to any of us, we'd say yes, absolutely. If our health were certainly threatened, we go to any lengths to obtain a cure. Now, I've no doubt that each of us here this morning, if faced with a healing time, would like to come through it heroically. But this morning's passage asks us to take a look at our healing in a slightly different light. Here we find not a hero, but a real anti-hero. The man by the pool of Bethesda has been ill for 38 years. That's 38 years of wasting away, 38 years of pain and suffering, 38 years of being isolated from normal folk, 38 years of craving healing, yet finding none. Can you imagine a person more ready to be healed? And we meet this man in a place of healing. The name Bethesda translates roughly as place of mercy or healing. This pool was thought to have miraculous healing powers, especially when it bubbled up. Legend had it that God sent an angel to trouble the waters when healing was available. Persons with all sorts of afflictions flocked from all over in hope of a miracle cure. That we find this man by this pool shows that he's not merely lounging or languishing in his illness. He still is in active pursuit of healing. He's ready, he's willing, or so it seems, but in this time, all this time, he has been unable to be healed. So near and yet so far. He is paralyzed in his body, his mind, and his spirit. At least until Jesus Christ enters the scene. As gratifying as it is to hear of heroic healings, I believe it's more important to grasp God's compassionate intentions towards us when we too find ourselves in these stuck kind of places. What blocks our healing? How can our God help us to be willing, and able to heal? Clearly, the man in this passage was ready to be healed. Sometimes we think we're ready, but in fact, we may not be. Consider this. A certain man was troubled with dizzy spells, and he went from one doctor to another, to another, to another, and no one could tell him what the problem was. He tried everything, it seemed. Finally, it was bothering him so much he started to lose weight. He couldn't sleep at night. He became a nervous wreck, and his health began to deteriorate overall. He had lost hope that he would ever recover. So he decided to prepare for the worst. He made out his will, bought a cemetery plot, and he even made arrangements with the local undertaker for what he was convinced was soon to be his demise. He even decided to buy a new suit of clothes, to be buried in. And when he went to the tailor's, he was measured for everything, picked out shoes, socks, coats, pants, and he asked for a size 15 shirt as well. The clerk said, "But sir, you need a 16 and a half shirt, not a 15. But the man, he insisted, he wore a size 15, thank you very much. Finally, in exasperation, the clerk said, "But if you wear a size 15, you're going to end up with dizzy spells." Think about it. If we are ready to receive healing in our bodies and our minds and our spirits, we need to acknowledge that there is a problem and become clear about just what that problem is. So what hinders us in this? Perhaps we fear being vulnerable. Our self-sufficient, up-by-the-bootstraps culture prompts us to present ourselves as fine, thanks, especially at those times when we are hurting the most. We've been conditioned to count our blessings while we blot out all knowledge of the bruises. But the good news of this passage is that our God doesn't share these cultural assumptions. Jesus goes to this man and meets him in his need and in his vulnerability. He relates to him without a hint of guilt or shame. All he asks is that the man affirm his need. In like fashion, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, seeks out our broken places and ever so persistently nudges them into our consciousness. That we become ready to reach out to God for healing is evidence of God already preparing us to be healed. So when we're ready, what comes next? We need to be willing. And yet even when we are ready, we may still struggle before we are truly willing. Perhaps one of the greatest gifts God has given us is the gift of the human will. We are not puppets on God's string, but persons who have the capacity to choose. And the witness of Scripture is that God desires to offer us wholeness and healing. Yet the witness of human experience is that our capacity for a willful refusal of that healing is, well, virtually endless. When Jesus approaches the man by the pool, he asks him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the answer to us seems a bit obvious, like, duh. But listen again to the man's response, and you'll not hear a ready yes, but a hard luck story of all the obstacles. So long has this man's will been focused on this one course of healing that with the ultimate source right there in front of him, he can't conceive of a way out. Whether from discouragement like this man or fear of the unknown, we too tend to hang back and to cling on to the problem rather than to turn to God for whatever its solution may be. Have you ever seen The Shawshank Redemption? I haven't watched it in a number of years. I just remember it as a really good film. There's a scene in that movie where Morgan Freeman's character, who's a prisoner, has a chance to get paroled after being in there for almost 40 years. And he says to one of his friends, "I don't know if I want that. I've been here most of my life. Besides, these prison walls, they're funny. First, you're afraid of them. Then you get used to them, and after a while, you actually start relying on them. I don't know if I can make it on the outside." Sometimes it's a simple distaste for change that keeps us stuck. We have to admit, most of us don't like changes. Mark Twain is quoted as saying that the only person who likes change is a baby with a wet diaper. So, oh, how we resist. The simple fact is that in order to be completely willing, we need to give up that which blocks our capacity to be healed. Another story. So these three guys are out fishing on a lake one day, and Jesus comes to them, of course, walking across the water, and joins them in the boat. When the three astonished men have settled down enough to speak, the first guy asks very humbly, "Jesus, I've suffered back pain ever since I took shrapnel in the war. Could you help me?" "Of course, my son," Jesus said, And when he touched the man's back, he felt relief for the first time in years. The second guy, who wore very thick glasses, had a very hard time reading and driving. He asked Jesus if he could do something about his poor eyesight. Jesus smiled, took off the glasses, tossed them in the lake, and when they hit the water, the fellow's eyes cleared and he could see everything distinctly. So Jesus then, of course, turns to the third man, but this guy draws back in horror. "Don't touch me, Jesus! That's my disability check you're messing with." Now, this is a classic good news, bad news message here. The good news is that God can and will heal us in body, mind, and spirit. The bad news is that God is in the business of canceling disability and replacing it with the ability to be healed, but also the ability to serve. Look at how Jesus responds to the man's forlorn tale. Basically, he doesn't even acknowledge it. Instead, he rather nonchalantly sets him on a whole new course in life. He says, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." In other words, use your will to move on from this place. Walk away from all that's been holding you back. Your future is not here, but out there. And with this man exercises himself according to Jesus' directions, indeed, his healing is complete. The final demonstration of our ability to be healed is our growing willingness to be a channel of God's healing toward others. There's an old Chinese tale about a woman whose only son died. And in her grief, she goes to the holy man and she says, "What prayers, what magical incantations do you have to bring my son back to life?" And instead of sending her away or reasoning with her, he said to her, "Go and fetch me a mustard seed from a home that has never known sorrow. We will use it to drive the sorrow out of your life." So the woman set off at once in search of that magical mustard seed. She came first to a splendid mansion, knocked on the door, and said, "I'm looking for a home that has never known sorrow. Is this such a place? This is very, very important to me." And they told her, "Well, you've certainly come to the wrong place." And they began to describe all the tragedies that had recently befallen them. The woman then said to herself, "Well, who is better able to help these poor, unfortunate people than I, who have had misfortune of my own?" So she stayed to comfort them, then went on in her search for a home that had never known sorrow. But wherever she turned, in hovels and in palaces, she found one tale after another of sadness and suffering and misfortune. Ultimately, she became so involved in ministering to other people's needs in their grief that she forgot about her quest for the magical mustard seed, never realizing that it had, in fact, driven the sorrow out of her own life. Our God is busy still, making people new, changing lives, reshaping our world, healing and all the like. And I believe that deep down within each of us is a desire to have God use us in a world-shaking way. It is for this purpose that we are made willing, ready, willing, and able to be healed. Like the man who walked out of Bethesda, like the woman in search of the magic mustard seed, as we heal and acquire the ability to transcend ourselves, we acquire a place in enacting God's great vision for all humankind. A vision in which all our divisions will be healed as we gather for eternity around the throne of grace. But the best news is that we do not need to wait for that far-off day. Our healing time is now. Jesus stands before us this very moment asking us, "Do you want to be healed?" May we find the courage to rise up and follow our Lord. To God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be glory now and forever. And may all God's people say, Amen.